Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Debut Royale. We are here with another franchise fix. We're doing the Arizona Cardinals today, and I do want to mention, this has been in the works for like 3 weeks. We've been really struggling with this one. There's so many different directions that the Arizona Cardinals can go this offseason, and I think that that created some difficulty for us. We had, oh gosh, when we were doing our drafts, six different mock drafts that we were trying to figure out. They have a slew of picks, which we're going to talk about. We're also going to talk through, you know, their free agent signings to this point, maybe a couple more that they should make. But it has been quite the journey trying to figure out how to fix the Cardinals. I do think they're in a really, really nice spot with all their assets. Do you agree with that, Randy?
Yeah, they did a bit of the spending this year. They're in a good spot to lay the complete groundwork and capitalize and build with a full year of Kyler in the system.
Yeah, they remind me, they're in a similar situation to the Bears, except they don't have the benefit of the rookie quarterback contract. So I'm curious to see how they build from here. But let's get right into it. We're going to talk through their free agent signings. So the signings before recording, they brought in Justin Jones on a pretty fat deal. Shout out the Bears for getting a nice comp pick for that, probably. Sean Murphy Bunting to help out their corner room. Jonah Williams to be a little bit, probably like a bridge tackle, but also definitely their starter this year because of the state of their offensive line. Bilal Nichols, Mac Wilson, DJ Dallas. They spent quite a bit of money on free agency. Randy, what direction do we want to go to add more?
Oh, I was going to say, they also have made even more signings. Again, this has been a process, so there's two different parts here. They also signed, did we go over Mac Wilson?
We did.
Okay, so DJ Dallas on a decent deal for a, you know, special teamer, mainly in a backup running back. Evan Brown from the Seahawks to, as of now, be your starting center on a prove it deal. Tristan Colon being brought back to be a rotational guy. Chris Moore at wide receiver in 1 year. Keith Ishmael back. Elijah Wilkinson back. Kyrus Tonga on a 1 year deal. Chris Barnes back. Aaron Brewer back, and Blake Griffin, Gillikin, sorry, that was a weird one, on a two-year deal. A lot of little signings left, but to me, the big one there is Evan Brown. To right now, you have two shots at center. Neither are great. I think we still want to look to address that, but speaking to adding more to what they've already done, which is a lot, we both really like bringing in Hunter Renfro, freshly cut from the Raiders, anywhere from $5 to $7 million, I think is a good range. If you can get a little cheaper, great. You might have to pay him all the way up to like $7 million to convince him to go to the Cardinals instead of the Saints to pair back up with Derek Carr, but we'll see there. And then also we were looking at Rocky Sin on a really good deal, 1 year, about $4 million, $4.5 million, and Kyle Van Noy, 1 year, $3 million deal, to give you even more depth in the corner room and give you a rotational actual 3-4 edge rusher that played meaningful snaps for the Ravens, their fourth leader in sacks last year, really stepped up for them. I think it's a perfect veteran leadership that this edge room needs.
Yeah, and like you said, perfect fit. I think all of these guys would be perfect fits. I know there's a lot of buzz about Greg Dortch, and I think Greg Dortch has been pretty nice in his role when given opportunities, but I also think that there's an opportunity to upgrade the position. You have the cap space. You can kind of go out there. Here's the thing. it's not like they're in a good position from an asset perspective, but they're also not, you know, flooded with great wide receivers right now. Obviously, that's going to change. Well, maybe not obviously. They're, like we said, there are a ton of different ways we took this mock draft. But yeah, that's kind of free agency. We flirted with a T. Higgins trade, but we don't necessarily know how realistic that is or what that compensation looks like. Initially, we had talked about sending one of those second round picks for T. Higgins. We're not going to do that tonight, even though, you know, if the Bengals want to, that would be a way to drastically improve this wide receiver room.
Yeah, and then if they do that, maybe it allows them to trade out from four for a massive haul. That's, again, so many options they could do. The only thing with the T deal, you'll probably have to restructure Kyler to be able to afford it for this year, but you'll be fine the rest of the time. So,
yeah.
Worst case, you free up, I think, like $29 million if you restructure Kyler.
Yeah. All right, let's just jump right into our mock draft. So for those of you who've been listening for a couple years now or, you know, however long, these franchise fixes get pretty condensed when we get into post-free agency, when we can really focus in on the mock. We do extended mocks, and we're going to just kick this one off with the fourth overall pick. We're not trading this one. We're just going to stay and take Marvin Harrison Jr., wide receiver from Ohio State. Many of you listening will know who Marvin Harrison Jr. is, but a borderline generational wide receiver that I don't believe has a bad floor to the point that, like, I don't see a world in which he busts. Maybe he's not everything that we thought he would be, which my comp for him is AJ Green. Maybe he's not that, but I can sure tell you that this offense will utilize a big wide receiver like Marvin Harrison Jr. really, really well. Randy, any thoughts on this pick?
It's the obvious best player in the class. I can't miss prospect unless something tragic happens. So Marvin Harrison is the smart pick. Again, if you get a huge haul, maybe then you pull the trigger on the T deal, kind of like the AJ Brown trade we saw in the draft a couple of years ago, where it's like, okay, we'll get in the first, we'll do the trade, and we'll pick a new guy. That hasn't worked out, but hopefully the Bengals can do better than that. But in this scenario, we're just going to sit and pick the best guy on the board, on everyone's board, and move on.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Randy, so we have another first-round pick, except we're trading up with that one. What are we doing here?
Yeah, so we're going to trade up with the Steelers here. You know, we really want to get a stalwart. We want our center of the future. We're trading up to get Jackson Powers Johnson. I think he's very clearly, I think there's still a few things he needs to work out at the next level, but I already think he's better than Evan Brown and Froholt. So I would have him as my starting center and let Brown and Wilkinson and Froholt all, you know, and anyone else you draft fight for the left guard spot. And now we have roughly 5 to 7 offensive linemen that can really contribute this year and keep Kyle upright, which we haven't been able to do ever. So in the trade up, we're going to trade 27, the 90th pick in the third round and the 138th pick in the fifth round for 120. It is a minor trade up, 7 spots, but you still have to pay at least a decent price. But with 3 third round picks this year and 2 fifths, I'm happy to move up to get the guy I desperately want.
Yeah, this was kind of a spur of the moment thing that we've worked out in this mock draft, because I think in signing Rocky, a lot of people are like really adamant that the Cardinals are going to take a corner with that second first rounder. I see that a lot. But if we're signing Rocky Sin, we already signed Sean Murphy Bunting, Garrett Williams. I think they still believe in Garrett Williams. They just drafted him recently. So I think they would be comfortable with their corner room enough to realize that if this offense is going to go, they can start pouring resources into it, and this would be one direction to go, where you're getting 2 top 10 talents in this class pretty easily, in my opinion. Like, Jackson Powers-Johnson is an elite prospect in my mind, and so getting into the top 20 for 2 picks is a nice way to condense these picks as well.
Yeah, and you leave day one with 2 no doubt best at their positions in the draft. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know how you can do better than that as a Cardinals GM, who is, as polls said for the Bears, righting the ship from the past that was making bad picks. We're going to continue making good picks.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we're back on the clock at the 35th overall pick in the second round. We're going to kick that one off with TJ Tampa. I just mentioned how they would feel good about their corner room, but the corner is a position where you need bodies, and they don't really have anything behind those guys. TJ Tampa's more of a developmental guy, but he's an upside guy. Recently, this week, he ran, I think, 4.52, 4.53 at his pro day. Pretty good showing. He's a physical guy. He can hit. I think he's one of those guys where if he doesn't work out a corner, I think you have a pretty decent safety. He reminds me of Fatu Melifonwu, who had a pretty decent stretch down over the last half of last year for Detroit, kind of coming into his own. I think Tampa's going to be a good corner. I think, honestly, what this does is, I mean, you rotate in, you can move Sean Murphy Bunting maybe to the inside. TJ Tampa can be your outside corner as well. There's a lot of different options, and that's what they have the ability to do with all these picks.
Yeah, and then again, Rakusin and Sean Murphy Bunting, we signed for 3 years, but it's not an enormous contract. If he's a rotational player next year, because we drafted another corner and TJ Tampa is excelling, I'm not really mad. So Rakusin, as of now, bringing in, he's competing for a starting spot. He's not gifted anything. Starling Thomas played some meaningful snaps. Obviously, we know Williams has, and they have other guys that they like, but we just need as many bodies as we can, because this was quite possibly our worst room last year, so I need to fix that. And like you said, you might like your corners after the signings, but you like them enough to be able to make that trade that we did and not sit at 27, because you're confident in the second or third round you're going to find another one that you like. So TJ Tampa fits the scheme perfectly, and this is one of his best fits, so I'm happy to take him in the second round. Start in the third. Thankfully, we have another early pick, taking Braden Fisk, the D-tackle from Fuller State. Get a lot of interior pass rush help here, a guy that, as we talked about, you know, on the shows last week, helped excel Jared Verse to the next level once he started to come on late. And I think that continues here. That's why he's in the third. You know, he ramped it up near the end to keep up. He's tested phenomenal this offseason for the pre-draft process. And I think it's a good fit here, where he's not thrust in the starting position right away after we just signed three or four interior D linemen. But we can at least work to the future. He's going to be a good rotational player for us, and would not be shocked if he takes a starting spot this year even.
Yeah, 100%. Like I mentioned, they gave a pretty big contract to Justin Jones, but that's a three-year deal, and some of the money can be moved around to where it's not, you know, hampering them. If Fisk takes a step forward, or continues taking a step forward, obviously he's an older prospect, but he's killed this draft process. I think, to me, by the end of the season, you'd hope that he is starting, and that's pretty good value if you can get a starter at pick 66. Another pick in the third round, we're going to actually move back. We're going to trade the 71st pick and the 226th pick in the seventh round to the Indianapolis Colts for pick 82, pick 151 in the fifth, and a 2025 fourth. That will move us back to pick 82, and we're going to take Christian Mahogany, the guard from Boston College. Once again, we're just going to hit the trench pretty hard in this draft, and so this is one where you're looking at that battle for left guard, and you're saying, can we upgrade again? And I think Mahogany would be right in the mix to compete for that starting left guard spot. I think right now you can assume that it's going to be Elijah Wilkinson, even with Jackson Powers Johnson kicking over. But I think there's a world in which Christian Mahogany and Jackson Powers Johnson create one heck of an offensive line tandem on the interior of that offensive line. And once again, we're looking at potentially five starters in these first five picks, which is great.
Yeah, and Will Hernandez has been the healthiest player. I don't know if he's a long-term solution at right guard. So get another hit on the board here to try and help this interior. The biggest thing for us for this draft is we're taking the best players that we can, obviously, especially at positions of need. But the best thing for the Cardinals this year is get the top talent, eat your vegetables a bit, go into this free agency and draft next year because you're not going to win the Super Bowl next year. This is a building season. Best case, you're hoping for the playoffs. And I think there's a chance of that depending on how everything works out. But let's get the building blocks. Let's get some of our base guys here. And we can make some big moves in the next couple of years if you make everything right this year and get a good jumping point to next year. And taking all these interior picks is how you do that. Because now when you go into the draft next year, you're not really looking for tackle in the first. You're not looking for interior offensive line at all. As of now, you're not looking at D-line at all. Corner, probably not at all. Wide receiver, probably not at all. Except maybe day two. You know, like, you're looking good. So that's the big thing. And we're going to continue that with pick 104 in the fourth round with Tommy Eichenberg, the linebacker from Ohio State. Definitely has some upside that he needs to get to in the pass coverage department. Showed some flashes there, especially against tight ends and some running backs out of the backfield. But if he's out in coverage, I'm definitely a little bit shakier on that. But with a 3-4 scheme, that's not going to happen a lot. So this is a perfect example of you got some meat eaters in the interior. He's a rotational linebacker this year. He's going to make all the tackles you need him to do and have like Kaiser White and other guys fly around the field. And he does fly sideline to sideline, but in the interior, if you want one guy behind these three D linemen in the fourth round, Tommy Eichenberg is easily that guy.
Yeah. One of the things with Tommy Eichenberg is he had a significantly better 2022 versus his 2023 season. I think if he came out, he would have been like a third or fourth round pick. I think he's still there. I actually saw him in a mock for the third round recently. So,
I think that's he's a good player. Linebacker class, but
it does. But I mean, this is still a really, really good player. He flies all over the field. I love his film. All right, here at pick 151, we're gonna take Jared Wiley, the tight end from TCU. Jared Wiley fans want to be super thrilled with this landing spot from a fantasy perspective, but Trey McBride, Elijah Higgins, Travis Vokolek, and Blake Whitehart are the tight ends on this team. There is one good player there and one wide receiver convert that I think probably won't work out at the tight end position. So, yeah. So Jared Wiley walks into a tight end two role in an offense that probably will use a little more 12 personnel if they have the ability to. Remember, personnel dictates scheme. If they have a good tight end too, they'll throw him out there a little bit more. Wiley is a capable pass catcher. I think he's an above average blocker. I think that he's pretty dynamic after the catch. If Trey McBride were to miss time, I think you would have a productive tight end room still with Wiley being there.
Yeah. And in these mock drafts, we're not mocking for fantasy, unfortunately.
No.
So we're mocking to get the best tight end room we can in the fifth round, which is Wiley.
Exactly. Yep.
All right. And with another fifth round pick, yes, we have a lot, which is why we traded up. Josh Proctor, safety from Ohio State. Yes, we went to Ohio State. Three Ohio State players. The fandom isn't contributing to that. We just wanted the best players we could find at position of needs here, and also focusing these later rounds. If we can get guys that can still, even if they're our third safety, they can be a dominant special teams player. Proctor can definitely do that. A lot of great plays at Ohio State, a lot of average plays at Ohio State. So there's the flashes there that if we can continue to develop, you got one of the best safeties in the league, being able to teach him as long as you can keep him happy. and Buda Baker, I think that's a good spot for him to continue to develop and use those flashes to make big plays for this team. But worst case, he's going to be a gutter on special teams most likely and make a lot of big hits. So that's great for us.
Yeah, for sure. All right, we're going to round this draft out in the sixth round to pick 186 with Jalen Green, the edge rusher, outside linebacker from James Madison. This is one of those scheme fit is almost perfect. He's, I think, 6'2", 245. You're looking at bringing in Kyle Van Noy as part of our free agency acquisitions here. And really, you're hoping that like the combination of Van Noy, Zaven Collins, BJ Ojulari can generate pressure. But then you get this guy. He's a fifth year. He's a little bit older. But that means that he could rotate in and be a guy who can generate some pressure from a 3-4 outside linebacker, edge rusher type of mold. So to me, this kid, he has pretty good film. He was really productive. I think that he is athletic enough, and I think that well, there's a reason he's in the sixth round, but you're taking a shot at potentially getting an impact player down the road for you.
Yeah, I believe it's a knee injury, knocked him out for the last few games, but he still had like 15 sacks.
Yeah.
And it is JMU, you know, first year in FBS, but still.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good traits there that you want to see, especially from a 3-4 edge rusher. And 15 and a half sacks is nothing to sneeze at any level.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. All right, let's go through the new depth chart. This would be what our fix looks like, you know, from a what they've done and what we're going to do standpoint. So Kyler Murray, Desmond Ridder, Clayton Tune. We didn't mention Clayton Tune, but he's kind of a maybe not a cut candidate with the new change to the emergency quarterback rule. Maybe he's just their three. But Desmond Ridder was traded to be their backup, so he'll be backing up Kyler this year. Running back room, I'm kind of disappointed that we didn't hit running back, to be honest, but they added so much this offseason that it's hard to. We talked about that in a few of the first iterations, but we've got James Conner, Amari DiMercato, DJ Dallas, Michael Carter, and Tony Jones in this backfield. Quickly, who do you think makes the team from that group? Probably James everyone Conner, but Jones, right?
The top three, I would say.
You think Michael Carter?
I think there's a chance. I think he's going to be on the bubble depending on how much depth they want in the offensive line and defensive line. Corners, obviously we added two free agents, corners, and a draft pick. So that's the question of which – do you want a fourth running back or a seventh corner that could play special teams? That's the
– yeah.
Because DJ Dallas is our special teams offensive guy.
That's true. That's true. It's interesting. Wide receiver room, we've got Michael Wilson, Marvin Harrison Jr., Hunter Renfro, Greg Dortch. Zach Pascal is our kind of primaries. A ton of depth behind them that will get cut. offensive line left to right, Jonah Williams and Kelvin Beachum. Left guard, Evan Brown, Christian Mahogany, Elijah Wilkinson, Tristan Cologne, Keith Israel, and Marquise Hayes. Yeah, someone would win that job. There's no way that all of those guys can be bad. Center, we've got Jackson Powers-Johnson, Froholt, and John Gaines. Right guard, we have Will Hernandez, Carter O'Donnell, and a slew of other guys that shouldn't make the team probably. And then right tackle, Paris Johnson Jr. So you're feeling pretty good about your two tackles. You're feeling a lot better about your interior. Tight end, we've got Trey McBride, Jared Wiley, Elijah Higgins, and all the other guys that I mentioned. Defensive ends, we've got Bilal Nichols, LJ Collier, Justin Jones, Braden Fisk, Dante Stills. Nose tackle, we've got Kyrus Tonga, Roy Lopez, and Naquan Jones. Outside linebackers, we've got Zaven Collins. We have we did add Kyle Van Noy. Dennis Gardeck, Kyle Van Noy, kind of battling for that other outside linebacker position. BJ Ojulari in there as well. Inside linebackers, Kaiser White, Tommy Eichenberg, Mac Wilson, Chris Barnes, Owen Papo. That's about it. Corners, TJ Tampa, Sean Murphy Bunting, Garrett Williams, Starling Thomas, like we mentioned, Rocky Sin, like we mentioned. Michael Ojemudia is on this team. So that's intriguing because he keeps popping up on teams. And then safeties, Buda Baker, Jalen Thompson, Josh Proctor. That's the extent of the talented players in that room.
Yeah, which is why I think they probably keep like six or seven corners and like four safety. Like, that's why it's like, could Tune get kind of practice squad through a quarterback cut? Could they go with three running backs only? They don't have a ton of – they have good receivers up front, not a ton of depth. They're probably cutting at least one of that, you know. It's a weird – they're definitely cutting at least one interior offensive lineman. just because we did so much, but
– yeah, I mean, probably four, to be honest.
Probably two tight ends, maybe three. Like, there's a way where we carry four running backs, three quarterbacks, but it's going to be close with 53.
Yeah. I mean, this puts them on the right path. I think playoffs would be, you know, 8 to 9 wins would be the goal. I don't know that they'd get there, but they will be playing a pretty weak schedule this year based on their performance last year. So, we'll see. Before we get out of here, I do want to mention the Patreon, patreon.com/TheDevilRoyale. We've got so much. Kevin just went through the Discord and cleaned it all up, and it looks really nice in there. Everyone's pretty happy with what's going on in there. We've got NFL Draft Talk happening. We just did a community mock draft that we posted on the Patreon. We've got a Substack that you should go subscribe to now because that's free right now. But patreon.com/DevRoyale, it's like $5 a month. We're going to have a giant over 100 pages of Devi player guides coming out. So a lot of good stuff in the works over on the Patreon. Feel free to join today if you feel so inclined. As far as scheduling and production plans over the next couple of weeks, we obviously worked on this franchise fix for 3 weeks, and we need to figure out another team to do so we can get back into that rhythm of doing these weekly. This one wasn't on YouTube. They will return to YouTube eventually. So if you're looking for this on YouTube, I'm sorry. We'll make that happen, but I have no idea what the next few shows are going to look like, but we will be sure to get you some content here. I hope you're enjoying listening. Randy, anything to add before we get out of here?
We're almost there. It's a while away, but we're still almost there. Just got another month or two, right?
A month. We have less than a month. We have 28 days.
I was going to say, it's the end of April, right? Not the first week of May this year. So we have a month.
Yep. I can't wait. Draft season is in full force. I'm starting on 2025 player evals because I'm over the 2024 class, but we'll still talk about it on this show. So thank you guys for listening. As always, like I said, leave a review, drop a comment over on the YouTube. Kevin just dropped the Dynasty show over there and on this feed. So we appreciate your support. We'll talk to you guys next time.